the cover of your church bulletin. If you look at it, it declares the Lord's mission for First Baptist Church of Piedmont, South Carolina. Proclaiming the gospel, making disciples, serving others. As we step into 2021 as a new year, it should be our sincere and ongoing daily prayer before the Lord that whatever you think, whatever you say, whatever you do, furthers the success in achieving God's given mission for this church, for His honor and glory. As we practice, as you practice, your spiritual disciplines, as Lori pointed out, our daily Bible study, our daily prayer, our time of meditation, and our time of solitude. This world, Satan and our sin nature, will do one of two things. They will either run you off the road into a ditch, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially, psychologically, recreationally, educationally, vocationally, and family. And if they cannot run you off the road into a ditch, they will have you careen straight ahead and run right off a cliff. We need to be wise and discerning. And that takes time of being still and having our time of solitude. We cannot afford not to have our time with the Lord on a daily basis. I hope that you put on the fullness of the mind of Christ to self-examine and to be situationally aware of how you are being personally responsible. I am here to tell you today, the Lord does not want you to blame anybody else for what's going on in your personal life, and to stop that. And that we are to take personal responsibility of what's going on around us. And whether or not our attitude is similar is by putting on the mind of Christ. You got to put on the fullness of Christ in every situation. If you are experiencing the fruit of God's peace as a good and faithful bond steward, then this church rejoices with you and encourages you to remain strong in the Lord, to stay the course, and bring along others with you in your spiritual journey. It is not an isolated walk. However, if you are sensing the conviction of the Holy Spirit about something or someone, your conviction must lead you to an act of confession. For if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you should not stop there. Conviction should lead to confession. And confession should lead to a recommitment to faithfully follow Christ's example in your daily life, because you do have a new life in Christ. I want you to take your Bibles that are in your pews or that you brought this morning or that you have there at home and you are watching. I'll wait a moment as you make sure you open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to slowly read about this new life that Paul is talking about to the Colossians that we are to put on like clothes to wear. And take a close look and a serious examination of ourselves. For you see, we cannot You cannot, I cannot put on the fullness of Christ if we are not living in Christ. Colossians chapter 3. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. In other words, right there, of above, strive to put heavenly priorities in your daily life. Where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. Let me tell you something. Where you and I have our victory is not in the birth of Christ. It was not in the life of Christ. It was not in the death of Christ. It was not in the resurrection of Christ. It was not in the ascension of Christ. These are amazing and wonderful things, but they are not the end of the story for our victory. For our victory came when He was seated at the right hand of the Father. Set your minds, that means your time and your attention, on things that are above. We're not going to gloss over this. When it says set your mind on the things above, it's talking about that you individually need to examine yourself, that you need to be thinking along lines of eternal things, godly and spiritual things of God. We need to be looking at the world from His perspective and what He desires. I was telling, we were in prayer time this morning before service, and I was sharing with my wife, Sherry. I said, it's very important that we realize that a spiritual walk with the Lord requires us to be semi-transcendent. If you're not sure what that means, look it up. I pray that you and I are semi-transcendent each and every day, especially when you're hearing from the Word of God and you're worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. Continuing on in verse 2, not on things that are of this earth, which are temporal and material and ungodly activities. Because you know, where your mind goes, you will surely follow. In James 3:17 it states, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceful, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. Verse 3, for you have died. Do you know that when you have died, all your sins, past, present, and future, were nailed to the cross? Why do we go about each and every day not sensing and assuring ourselves that our sins have been forgiven? Yes, we are to take up our cross daily and follow Christ. But just like a mother ox is training a small ox, the yoke is on the mother's neck completely. And the baby ox is simply learning. That's the same way we are to pick up our cross and follow Him daily. But we are not to be carrying the sins of our past, present, and future because they've already been nailed to the cross that Jesus hung on. And again in verse 3, and your life and your salvation is hidden. That means it is safe and secure with Christ. In God. Did you know that that's really where our home really is? Verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. I'm going to ask you a question. We just went through a season of Advent. an excited expectation of His second coming, the reassurance that He came the first time, that God always keeps His promises and He's coming again. Here's my question. How are you, how am I, how are we preparing for Christ's coming? Look at verse 5. Put to death. That means you need to change your behavior and refuse to engage in, therefore, whatever in you is earthly. Whatever in you is earthly. Fornication, which also means sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. We are to cut these things off from our life. Before we moved here, while I was at my last assignment as a commander of a unit at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, and also in one of my years, I can't remember anymore, I was at Campbell for 4 years, seminary, but while we were there, we had a house, beautiful home, and in the back, it had the Winnie the Pooh forest of 100-acre forest trees. It is gorgeous back there. But I walked back there and I noticed that there were a lot of trees that seemed dead. And so I brought in a botanist or a tree doctor or somebody like that, an expert, and they says, "Oh yeah, you got about 100 trees back here that are infested with bugs, a beetle. These trees are dead." And I said, "Well, will they affect the other trees?" He says, "Absolutely. Not only the rest of your trees, but it'll also affect your neighbor's trees and spread throughout your neighborhood." So Sherry and I had to go through the expense of having over 100 beautiful pine trees cut down in our backyard. And the reason why they had to be cut out is because they were diseased. In the same way, we are to cut these things out of our life that are of this world. Cut them out. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. Let me rest assured that you and I will give an account before God. This is not something you could kick down the can down the street on. Verse 7. These are the ways you also once followed when you were living that life. But now you, who are in Christ, must rid all of this, all of such things. Here's what you need to rid of: anger, wrath, malice. Malice is another word for hatred, or being downright mean and spiteful. Slander. Slander is the verbal form. It is where you verbally smear somebody of defamation. Libel is written. Slander is verbal. And abusive language from your mouth. Verse 9. Do not lie to one another. Did you know? I had heard the other day on a talk radio show. I thought it was very interesting, but it is true. Do you know that the only person that can betray you is a friend? See, your enemies, you don't have an expectation of trust. You know who they are, but it's your friends that can betray you. Lying to one another disrupts unity in the body of Christ, and it destroys trust. Don't lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off like clothes the old self. In other words, you and I are dead to self with all of its practices. When it talks about practices, it's talking about deeds of darkness. Are you self-examining yourself? Verse 10, and have clothed yourself, putting on the new self, which is alive in Christ, which is being renewed in knowledge. In other words, It is a lifetime process of learning and obeying each and every day according to the image of its Creator. Stand firm and remain true. Stand firm and remain true to the conviction of your faith. Does your faith match your conduct and your actions? Verse 11. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian or Scythian. These are basically referring to uncultured people, slave or free. But Christ is all and in all. In our relationship with the Lord and in our relationship with one another, in Christ means that we are to be building bridges, not walls. Verse 12, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourself with, now listen, these are moral and ethical attitudes and behavior. Clothe yourselves with compassion, with kindness, with humility and meekness. Meekness is another word for being gentle and patience. Verse 13, bear. When we talk about bear, it means accept. Accept with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each one. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. I want to ask you a question. We are really, really quick to go to the throne of grace and ask the Lord under His grace and His mercy and His love and His kindness and His attributes and His character to forgive us. We're real fast about that. But how fast are we in forgiving others who betray us or disappoint us or don't meet our expectation? That's hypocrisy. How would you like to have God turn and say, okay, I'll go ahead and forgive you to the same degree that you forgave your husband or your wife or your children or your grandparents or your coworker or the person you just cut off driving down the street. I'll forgive you to the same extent that you forgave them. In other words, we need to be intentionally building unity. Verse 14, above all, golly, he keeps going back to clothing, doesn't he? Clothe yourselves with love. You know what? It is not a feeling. It's a decision to meet each other's needs. It's a decision. Not, do I feel good about it today or not? It's not based upon your feelings, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Do you know it's love that holds all these virtues together? Verse 15, and let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Do you know where it talks about there, rule in your heart? Paul is using this similar to talks about rules of peace, is much like athletes and the rules they have to follow. In 1985, I happened to grab a couple of tickets to the Olympics that were in Los Angeles. And we went down, I think it was at the Coliseum or the Forum, and they had the Roman Greco wrestling. So I took my son Ron, who was born in 79, so he was 6. So we went in, sat down, and they had these mats of wrestlers. And in front of us was a Greek and an Italian. And they were wrestling Roman Greco style. And Ron was excited, and I'm there. And they started wrestling. And let me tell you, the Greek was wiping the mat with this Italian. Flipped him everywhere, threw him over his shoulder. I mean, he was massive. He looked like me. And then that's where you play the soundtrack, Ken. Anyway, the Greek finally took the Italian down on the mat and rolled him back, and the ref was slapping the mat, and the Greek had the Italian's shoulder down on the mat, and the match was over. And as you know, at the end of each match, the referee takes both of the wrestlers and lifts the hand of the victor. And in this case, the ref lifted the Italian wrestler's hand. And Ron turned to me at age six and he says, Dad, how can that possibly be? The Greek was just cleaning up everything all over the place with this Italian, put him in a nice little rocker and held him back and pinned the Italian. How did the Greek lose? And I said to Ron very simply, the Greek didn't follow the rules. Because as he was pinning the Italian, he did not realize he was pinning himself first. And that's what Satan wants us to happen in our lives. Satan will do, this world will do, our sinful nature will do everything it can to confuse us where we think we are on top, but in fact, we have just pinned ourselves. To which indeed you were called in the one body. In other words, we are to work together here at First Baptist Church of Piedmont as well as throughout Piedmont community despite our differences. And then what's those three last words there in verse 15? And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom and with gratitude in your hearts, singing praises and hymns and spiritual songs to God. Which these spirituals, keep in mind, at that time, they had the Old Testament, but they had not yet gotten the New Testament. And so that the way that they worshiped and the way that they taught was through hymns and songs and psalms, and singing them so that they can memorize them. And so as a part of their education, as well as their worship. And verse 17, whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything. Not some things, not most things, not 99% of things, but everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Live as Christ's representative. And bring honor to Christ in every aspect and activity of daily living. Now, I want to really go through here something with you. Hang in there. I'm going to finish here by noontime. You hang in there that are watching live stream. In order to fully put off, as verses 1 through 11, as well as in Colossians and Ephesians, admonishes us, we must be still. We need to abide in Christ. We need to listen carefully to the Lord, and we need to obey Him faithfully. Yet to do so, there needs to be an intrinsic or inside of us conviction with that what we are thinking, what we are saying, and what we are doing, if we have that conviction, it is sin. And the only way to restore a healthy and growing fellowship with the Lord and with one another is through the intentional act of confession. Confession merely means agreeing with God that you were wrong. Similar to the act of physical breathing, you must exhale the impure, confess, and inhale the pure by continually allowing the Holy Spirit to fill, control, and guide your mind, your body, your heart, your soul, and your spirit on a daily basis. Once you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you are now empowered to put Christ on to its fullest and conform to Him, His image, and walk in the Spirit and follow Him in discipleship as it reads there in verses 12 through 17. In Romans 13, 14, it says this, instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. For it is the only way this church, First Baptist Church of Piedmont, this body, the body of believers, you and I, this is the only way we can keep our commitment to the Lord by faith and trust and ongoing obedience in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, there's three summaries. Real quick, three verses. If you got a pen, write this down. Here we go, Colossians 3:2. Colossians 3:2, here are three summary verses directing you on how to live with the mind of Christ. Colossians 3:2, set your mind on things that are above and not on the things of earth. Number two is Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And then 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Discipline yourselves. Set all your hope on the grace that Jesus Christ will bring you when He is revealed. Now, I have something that I think is probably going to shock a lot of people. And I do hope that this shocks you. Self-examination. It's January 2021. You have a new life. You better examine this. You may be saying, I don't recall making any kind of commitment or covenant or agreement with the Lord or this congregation. But in fact, you did. Individually and collectively. On our church website, there is a document which proclaims to the world our church covenant, which states in part, we, everybody here in First Baptist Church of Piedmont, we enter into this covenant with God and one another because the congregation is the dwelling place of God in the Holy Spirit. You better be paying attention now. In addition to our commitment to worshiping and praying and building up the church together, among other promises that you and I have made to God and to one another, each of us pledged this covenant in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to share the gospel and allow the fruit of God's Spirit to grow in our lives. The putting on the fullness of Christ demands that each of us keep this covenant with the Lord. But only if you are willing to self-examine whether you are walking in the Spirit. You see, in your covenant that you and I have made to the Lord and to one another includes striving to live holy and devout lives, walking together in love and peace guided by the Scriptures. We promised and pledged that we are going to control our anger and shun profane speech and abstain from gossip. We also pledged to God and to one another to seek to resolve all conflict promptly and fairly. If you are falling short in keeping this church covenant with the Lord and with one another, then you are in sin. And your fellowship with the Lord is broken. Not your relationship, but your fellowship is broken with the Lord and with the body of Christ. If you are choosing to not keep your covenant with the Lord, then you have chosen to walk a carnal life that resembles a natural person's life without Christ. Let me read for you very quickly. Paul exhorted the church in Corinth by telling them clearly, "And so, my brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. Even now you are still not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not of the flesh and not behaving according to human inclinations? Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is holy and you are the temple." He then instructs in Hebrews about Jesus as the great high priest. Paul writes in chapter 5, "About this we have much to say that is hard to explain, since you have been dull in your understanding." That struck me. That struck me. What does that dull in understanding mean? Well, in Romans 13:11, It means that you are spiritually asleep. You know what time it is. How is it now? How is it now the moment for you to wake up from sleep? Wake up from your spiritual slumber. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic elements of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food, for everyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is unskilled in the word of righteousness. But solid food is for the mature. This church, this congregation, will be a congregation of mature believers. For those whose faculties have been trained by practice to distinguish good from evil. To put on the fullness of Christ requires you to be in Christ, having a personal relationship with Him by accepting Him as your personal Lord and Savior. To maintain a daily life in Christ requires our faithful obedience to keep His commands and to keep our church covenant with one another. Look it up. Then and only then can you truly put on the fullness of Christ and live a life in Christ. For Romans 8, it states, "There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakening by the flesh, could not do, by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and to deal with sin, He condemned sin in the flesh so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh, they set their minds on the things that are of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, they set their mind on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death. To set your mind on the things of this world, the temporal world, the material world, is death. But to set your mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's laws. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You and you and you and you and those watching, you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies, also through His Spirit that dwells in you. Do you want a full a meaningful life that is pleasing to God and filled with His peace? Then you need to respond to the conviction. The conviction you feel from the Holy Spirit right now. As you are watching there, I know that there's something that the Lord gave you today as a revelation and an inspiration, not to have you feel defeated, but to tear out that diseased, like those trees in the back of our house in Fayetteville, North Carolina, tear it out. There's a conviction that you have today. And you need to confess to Him that you are a sinner and commit your life to Christ by faith. And you are to keep your covenant with Him and with one another today. Ultimately, you will answer whether you are a person who keeps your promises or not. Eventually, it's not going to be to me. It's going to be to the Creator who made heaven and earth. as you are so in and united with Christ that others see Him, do they see Him in your life or do they see you? If not, you come to Him today and surrender your all because you know now that Christ is all and in all. He is waiting for you. You come.